This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The Wilderness Act was signed into law 40 years ago this week. At the time, the idea of preserving 9 million acres of land in its natural condition was revolutionary. No nation had ever tried. To mark the anniversary of the act in the first of two reports, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold takes us on a National Geographic radio expedition to one of the first protected areas, the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness Area.
It took 18 hearings, 66 drafts, and 8 years to pass the Wilderness Act, which designated the first wild lands for protection. But it also set up a system so that even more land could be added by regular people like you, me, and Doris Milner.
All I knew, I was mad. That's all I knew. And I was going to do something about it.
Doris Milner wasn't anybody special, just a woman in Montana who stumbled on a bulldozer in a place she'd loved to hike and camp. For 17 years, Doris petitioned Congress and fought to add her special place to what's now the 1.2 million acre Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, straddling Idaho and Montana. She watched as it was signed into law.
I've forgotten the date, but I know it was 1980, because we were all in Washington, D.C. The day there, it was President Carter, wasn't it? Yeah. I sat there, and he said it just in a calm voice, and the tears. Just that I'm not a crier. And I, it was over. Well, we had won. That was something.
The wilderness boundary is less than a mile from her back porch where we sit today. Doris is now 84 and content to simply view it from here.
You know, my kids, when they'll go in there, because they like to get in there almost every year. They go over there a couple of days. And they come back and they say, Mom, this is one place that never changes. That makes you feel good. I go over and it's still there.
Doris is one of many Americans, from a hardware store owner in Montana to a waitress in Nevada, who by their own love of the land led Congress over the last 40 years to expand the wilderness system to its current size of 106 million acres.
Clear!
Flying up and over Doris's ranch, we leave the neat squares of irrigated agriculture and subdivisions behind and are at once in a disorderly jumble of knife-edge ridges and craggy peaks. This is the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness. All that lies below us now is permanently protected. There are trails, bridges, and even homesteads in some wilderness areas, grandfathered in, but most have limited access like this one. We land in a small open field of purple knapweed. It's hot and dry, and the smell of ponderosa pine is thick. While the flight in was an easy hop, our trip isn't over yet. It's a few more miles on foot through the conifer forest and across clear braided streams before we reach camp for the night by the side of the Selway River. Along with us is Doug Scott. He's a tireless advocate, lobbyist, and historian of wilderness since 1966. He's left his suit and tie behind for this trip. He spends more time in stuffy committee rooms than out here in the wilderness, but that doesn't seem to matter to him.
I watch ordinary people, fired by the enthusiasm to protect a place they love, do extraordinary things, and do them with members of Congress, Republicans, Democrats, governors of both parties. I sometimes like to say, what we're doing is making a mark on a map. And within this line, we're going to leave it alone. And that's an overwhelming feeling.
In the morning, we tie down everything but ourselves with bungee cords and rope to small blue rafts, slather on sunscreen, and get ready for a bone-jarring float. The Selway flows for 47 miles through the heart of the wilderness.
We shouldn't really have any incidents today. There's one big rapid, which is Ham Rapid, which we'll scout and take a look at it, see how we're going to run it. It's just going to be really bony. There's no doubt about it.
We push off out onto the river, and all too soon, we're dodging, weaving, and backpaddling to avoid Volkswagen-sized boulders.
This is going to be rough for us, you guys.
Barry Williams is the boatman. He's the epitome of barrel-chested, having floated this water for more than 20 years as the sole river ranger of the Selway.
Hey!
All right.
Call clean run.
That was totally clean. How'd you do that? How many 360s did you just do?
Between rapids, rowing in slower water, Williams is philosophical about everything from paddling strokes to the huge cedar trees at the river's edge, trees that on any other river would have been logged centuries ago.
It's incredible how the wilderness area in the river, though, is self-managing in many respects because of its remoteness and its harshness.
High up above, some 5,000 feet at a fire tower lookout, the Selway River is barely discernible as it ribbons through a landscape of thickly forested mountains in every direction.
Almost see where the Selway makes a big turn to the west at right about Moose Creek and then sweeps around to the west.
Dave Campbell is the Forest Service District Ranger here.
You know, a lot of people would say the idea of managing wilderness, well, that's probably got to be a pretty easy job. What do? You know, just let it be.
That's the challenge, in a nutshell.
Campbell and others wrestle daily with thorny issues not spelled out in the Act. How to manage wildfire, invasive weeds, and whether planes like the one we flew in on violate the spirit of the place. He's a quiet man who, as a boy, collected maps of what were then called primitive areas, places he wanted to explore.
I grew up loving wilderness. And I guess to just say I still do. I have the benefit to manage it, to live in it. So that's not lost on me. You see the immensity we have. It's just sometimes people are taken aback by it.
We have to end our expedition where we began, at the edges, where the debate over what should be protected still continues. There are citizen initiatives and countless bills pending in Congress to add millions of acres to this and other wilderness areas. But here at Poet Creek, near the Selway's western boundary, conservation historian Dennis Baird says expansion has slowed in recent years.
It's been kind of fighting a retreat, is the way I look at the wilderness struggle. We lose more to pavement than we save in any given year.
But like Doris Milner, who came before him, Baird aims to add another 200,000 acres nearby, known as Meadow Creek, to the Selway. But his main cause, he says, is to keep existing wilderness wilderness.
I'm pretty sure somewhere, someplace, somebody has got a plan to do something to all this land. But there's a really powerful law that stands in their way. The real threat in this country has been a power line corridor. But with the Wilderness Act as a wall against them, we're in pretty good shape here. But we still have to be pretty vigilant. There's always a plan. Someone's got one somewhere.
For Radio Expeditions, I'm Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. See the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness at npr.org. Tomorrow, where rivers and mountains still have no names, an expedition to a more recent addition to America's wilderness, Alaska's Gates of the Arctic National Park.